Donald Trump's friends and allies have been parading in and out of the courtroom for the last few weeks as part of the plan to have them babysit Donald Trump so he doesn't do anything crazy or stupid in the middle of the courtroom. But according to one reporter who witnessed it firsthand this week, there's apparently another reason why Donald Trump's friends and allies are packing into that courtroom. And according to the reporter, it's because Donald Trump is literally telling them what to say when they walk out of the courtroom and meet with the reporters. This is what New York Magazine's Andrew Rice said that he witnessed on Tuesday. "I could actually look over Trump's shoulder and see what he was reading, and he's reading the quotes that these individuals and going through and making notations with a pen on the paper while testimony was going on, while Michael Cohen was testifying against him. He was actually going through and annotating and editing the quotes that these people were giving." So we have had Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson. We have had Governor Doug Burgum. We have had other J.D. Vance. Lindsey Graham has shown up a couple days. Tommy Tuberville. We've had lots of people from the Republican delegation in the House and other Republican officials across the country show up to the courtroom. And at the end of the day, just like Donald Trump, they leave the courtroom. Reporters are all standing out there. God forbid we don't give this, 100% of our attention. And they speak to reporters, and they attack the witnesses. They attack the judge. They attack the judge's family. Basically, they do everything that Donald Trump is not allowed to do because of the gag order. But if what Mr. Rice is saying here is accurate and true, and Donald Trump is sitting in court editing what these people are going to say, then that is also a violation of the gag order that should result in Donald Trump being thrown in jail. Here's why. Not only is Donald Trump forbidden from attacking these people publicly, he could do it when he's on the stand. So if he takes the stand, he can do that all he wants. But publicly, social media, talking to reporters, rallies, interviews, whatever, he can't say a word about these people. But also, he cannot direct anyone else to say something about these people. That is specifically in that gag order. So Mr. Rice saying that he can look over Trump's shoulder and see that he's writing these things out, editing them, literally telling these people what to say, then they go outside and say it. That is a clear violation of the gag order, and this might be the most brazen violation of that gag order that we have seen, because it shows that Donald Trump knows that he's not supposed to do it himself. He knows that he can have his little puppets go out there and do it for him, and he is such a control freak that he has to write it out himself. And he's doing it secretly because he knows the judge has to pay attention to the trial. And again, if what Mr. Rice is saying is true and accurate, Trump should go to jail right now. That's it. No more second chances. No more stern warnings. Oh, I'm going to have to do this. Do it right now. This man is making a mockery of your rules, Judge Mershon. You are the only person that has the authority to put an end to this. And it is now your duty to put an end to this. Your daughter could be in danger because of what these people are saying. Because yes, they walk out of the courtroom and they attack your daughter. The witnesses are in danger. Stormy Daniels had to wear a bulletproof vest going into the courtroom the other day. That's on you, Judge. Yes, Trump is the one causing it, but you're allowing it to happen. Put him in jail. No more excuses. Because this, again, as long as it's accurate, so hold a hearing, figure it out. But you need to do that immediately before this trial continues. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is not happy that Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson showed up to support Donald Trump in court this week. And then, after, of course, Johnson showed up in court, he had the audacity to walk outside and talk to supporters and defend Donald Trump, which is something that I would think Mike Lindell would like. But apparently, Mike Johnson's defense of Donald Trump and attack on the trial itself was not good enough for the pillow man. So after Mike Johnson spoke to reporters this week upon leaving the courtroom, Mike Lindell immediately ran crying to Steve Bannon, because that's what all Republicans do now whenever they get their feelings hurt. They run to Steve Bannon like he is their Dr. Phil. And Mike Lindell said this about Johnson's speech outside the courtroom. "Well, here's Mike Johnson. This is really bad to Donald Trump. Oh, wait a minute. It says here I'm a Christian. Just hold on. Let me look at my notes. This guy has no passion for our country. He has no passion for our great, real president. This guy has to go. It's disgusting that Johnson has to use notes." "I'll tell you what's going on in our country. Donald Trump is a uniter of the people. All people are getting united because you know what? These people have seen through this garbage of, like, Speaker Johnson up there saying this was really bad." Really? You had to read that off your notes, Speaker Johnson, to tell you it's a bad that's up there? Pathetic. Pathetic. So Mike Lindell's a little mad, right? And of course, you know, as I reported earlier today, those notes actually came from Donald Trump, according to reporter Andrew Rice. So thanks for admitting that you also saw the guy reading the notes, because that actually lends more credence to Andrew Rice's story. So thank you for that, Mike Lindell. But I think what's really bothering Mike Lindell here is the fact that Johnson got to go to the trial and Mike Lindell didn't. I think he's got his feelings hurt. I think Mike Lindell wants to be there with his buddy. I think he wants to be the one behind him rubbing his shoulder saying, "You're doing such a good job, bud. Just a couple more hours. You could do this, man." But instead it was Mike Johnson. So Mike Lindell got his little bitty feelings hurt, so he runs crying to Steve Bannon. But let's also talk about something else Mike Lindell said, that Trump is a uniter. That people are, everybody is uniting behind, like, what are you even talking about, you psycho? Trump's literally never been a uniter. And for the record, he's also never been popular, never had an approval rating of more than 50%, never hit 50%, by the way. The country has become grotesquely divided since Donald Trump's election. Not that it wasn't divided before that. I'm not blaming this on Trump, but it definitely got worse under Donald Trump. I mean, you see that with the death threats and all those kinds of things that have become the norm from Trump supporters to anybody that dare question dear leader. So don't sit there and act like, "Oh, Trump's a uniter and this is so sad." No, he's not. Like, are you incapable, Mike, of saying anything that's true? Do you have a filter in your brain that catches any bit of truth and just craps it out later on? You know, when nobody's around, so that way you can only tell lies when you're in front of a camera? Because I'm starting to think that that's the case. Donald Trump is not the real president, as you claimed. And for the record, continuing to make claims like that is definitely going to screw you over when it comes time for those defamation lawsuits that, again, filed years ago, and yet we still have to wait another year before those go to trial. That's ridiculous. Let's get this man on trial today for those defamation charges against him, right? Let's make that happen. Let's shut him the hell up. Because I'm actually getting sick and tired of having to talk about this wackadoo. But he had a little temper tantrum, and it was pretty funny, because Mike Lindell wishes he was the guy in the courtroom instead of Speaker Johnson. Donald Trump is facing even more legal problems these days now that the House of Representatives and probably the Senate are going to investigate him for his alleged extortion plot with oil executives in this country. Now, in case you didn't catch the segment earlier this week, what happened was that about a week or so ago, Donald Trump has a big fundraiser with the heads of all the major oil companies and the oil lobbying groups and basically anybody connected to fossil fuels. He gets up on stage and he tells these people, "You give me $1 billion because you guys have it between you. You make a lot of money. Give me $1 billion. And when I get back into the White House, I will cut your regulations. I will kill wind energy, kill renewable energy of any kind, solar. I will let you drill throughout the Gulf of Mexico, destroy the Arctic with your product. You can drill, baby, drill, but you got to give me $1 billion. You know, like some kind of perverted version of Dr. Evil, except actually far more evil. And after that story broke, it became clear to everybody who read what Donald Trump actually said that this was either bribery, a quid pro quo, or extortion. That's what I like to call it. Either way, all three of those things are totally illegal. And now Donald Trump is facing an investigation from the House of Representatives and likely one in the Senate as well. So what happened was about a day ago, Jamie Raskin with the House Oversight Committee sent a letter, and the letter went to the heads of the American Petroleum Institute, Chinnery Energy, Chesapeake Energy, Chevron, Continental Resources, EQT Corporation, ExxonMobil, Occidental Petroleum, and Venture Global LNG, liquefied natural gas. And in this letter, Jamie Raskin says, quote, executives appear to have attended Trump's fundraiser dinner at Mar-a-Lago, and media reports raise significant potential ethical, campaign finance, and legal issues that would flow from the effective sale of American energy and regulatory policy to commercial interests in return for large campaign contributions. Mr. Trump's unvarnished quid pro quo offer is especially troubling evidence in light of recent accounts that the U.S. oil industry is drawing up ready-to-sign executive orders for Donald Trump aimed at pushing natural gas exports, cutting drilling costs, and increasing offshore oil leases in case he wins a second term. These preparatory actions suggest that certain oil and gas companies, which have a track record of using deceitful tactics to undermine effective climate policy, may have already accepted or facilitated Mr. Trump's explicit corrupt bargain. He goes on to say, the Committee on Oversight and Accountability is the principal oversight committee of the House of Representatives and has broad authority to investigate any matter at any time. The requested information is needed to investigate and legislate on matters related to presidential and presidential candidate ethics and to continue to address the major ethics crisis created by Donald Trump's efforts to profit off the presidency. He is seeking, according to the letter, copies of materials distributed during the event, descriptions of all policy proposals and related campaign contributions discussed, and draft executive orders or policy paperwork prepared by members of the companies. So, lot to digest there. And for the record, earlier this week, Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse basically said he was considering launching an investigation, which would do much better in the Senate than it would in the House because Democrats do not have a majority in the House. So that's not going to go anywhere. Just being real with you, I don't even like to say it, but that is the reality. I love what Jamie Raskin is doing, but because he is not in the majority, that's not going to be a real investigation, unfortunately. Republicans will shut it down. In the Senate, on the other hand, that one has a real chance. And it's undeniable what Donald Trump did. Now, again, I said this in the segment earlier this week, so let me reiterate it here. Politicians of both parties do this all the time, almost every day. Except nobody says the quiet part out loud. Usually it's the industry coming to the politician via a lobbyist and saying, oh, by the way, you got some legislation coming up and we really don't want that to pass. That's horrible legislation that would hurt us. Oh, almost forgot. Here's your $10,000 campaign donation. Thank you. And the member of Congress says, no, thank you. And there's this understood agreement, but because it's not spoken verbally, it's technically not illegal. I know that sounds stupid, but that's the way it is. But if the lobbyist or if the company itself goes up to him and says, look, I got a check for $10,000 ready to go for you, but I'm not going to give it to you unless you vote against this legislation. That's when it becomes illegal. That's 100% illegal. And that is basically what Donald Trump did, according to the reports. You want to know something else disgusting? One corporate media outlet, one cable news outlet reported on this. The only cable news outlet that reported on this meeting that Trump had that now is leading to an investigation, MSNBC. CNN didn't touch it. And of course, none of the other conservative outlets touched it. CNBC didn't touch it. Nobody else touched it other than MSNBC. ABC, CBS, NBC, nobody. So that tells you everything you need to know. It involves fossil fuel. It's related to climate change. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. Everybody's going to tune out, right? This is a massive scandal that deserves far more attention than it has gotten. So hopefully with both Raskin in the House and Whitehouse in the Senate calling attention to this, hopefully people start paying attention because this is going to end up being a big freaking deal. even though both major parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, already have their nominee for this year, both President Biden and Donald Trump have already secured enough delegates to where they are their party's nominee this year. But we still have voting taking place, right? We're still having primaries. And this week on the Republican side, they had primaries in Nebraska, West Virginia, and Maryland. And not surprising, since he's the only Republican left in the race, Donald Trump won. What was surprising, however, is the fact that Donald Trump is actually still kind of struggling to win, even though he's the only active candidate on the ballot. Nikki Haley in West Virginia got 12% of the vote. In Maryland, she got 20% of the overall vote. And in Nebraska, she got 18% of the overall vote. Now, last week in the Indiana primary, Nikki Haley also scored 20% of the vote, leaving Donald Trump with 80%. So one out of every five voters in Nebraska, in Indiana last week said, I actually want to go with the woman who's not even running anymore. That's a huge blow to Donald Trump. Similar thing happened in Pennsylvania a few weeks before that. So Donald Trump is struggling with about one in five Republican voters who would rather vote for a zombie candidate that dropped out months ago than vote for him. But in the Indiana primary last week, everybody said, well, it's because they have the open primary. Anybody can go in, even if you're a Democrat, and vote on the Republican side. So obviously that's what skewed it for Nikki Haley, right? Therefore, those results cannot be repeated in states with closed primaries. And then this week showed that those results were replicated in states with closed primaries. You cannot say that Democrats changed this one. You can't say that those darn lefties showed up to vote for Nikki Haley to show Donald Trump he's an idiot. Nope. These were all Republicans, folks. And one out of five of them said, I would rather go with the person not running for office than Donald Trump. So let me put this in a little bit better perspective, right? I'll break it down easy to understand here. Let's say you have a room of 100 people and you stand up at the front of the room and say, hey, everybody, I'm going to get lunch for everybody here. You have two choices. The choices are McDonald's or Pizza Hut. Now, unfortunately, Pizza Hut actually closed down and the building burned down. So Pizza Hut doesn't exist anymore. So you can't have Pizza Hut. Also, we took a vote earlier behind the scenes and everybody already voted for McDonald's. So we're going to have McDonald's, but I'm going to hold this vote. So let me know if you want McDonald's or if you want Pizza Hut, which you can't have. Or you can just not vote. And 20 people in that room will still say, I hate McDonald's so much, I'm going to vote for the thing I can't even have. I'm going to vote for Pizza Hut. Knowing I can't have it, also knowing that I don't have to vote, but I'm still gonna vote because I dislike the other option so much. That is what's happening to Donald Trump in these primaries. Now think about that for a minute, because I think it's the fact that these people are showing up to vote against him that tells us everything, because they already know Trump's the nominee. So they know that their protest vote for Nikki Haley will not change anything. So if you're not going to vote for Donald Trump, why show up, right? Like, that's the thing that I wish all the reports talking about it would mention, because these people are going out of their way to show up and vote in an election that doesn't matter, to vote for a candidate that doesn't exist, just to stick it to that guy. That is a level of pettiness that I couldn't even bring myself to do. And I'm a pretty petty guy sometimes. But that's what these Republicans are doing. And if you think that that bodes well for Donald Trump in November, then you are kidding yourself. If you've got one in five members of your party who would rather vote for the zombie candidate than vote for you, you're in significant trouble. So as per usual, I don't buy into the polls that say, oh, Trump's going to run away with this thing. He's beaten Biden again in this poll, in this poll, in this poll. Really? The dude is barely winning a primary where he's the only candidate. You look at that. You look at the real world results, not what these pollsters are telling you. Look at the real world results and tell me things are going well for Donald Trump. And if you do that, you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself, because they're not. Thanks for listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.